Everybody say it mean.
Who's that out there living the dream? Let's blow in the bean. Who's that still smoking all that green? Let's blow in the bean. Come on, y'all, let me hear you scream. Let's blow in the bean. Let's blow in the bean. Let's blow in the bean. Go.
Let's blow in the bean.
Bringing it at you, another day of fight talk.
It's
a lot going on.
Friday.
Whoop, whoop.
Friday. The weigh-ins have happened, and we're here to talk about it.
The real weigh-ins.
But we're not going to talk about it yet.
We're going to get to it
eventually. I'm giving you a golden carrot.
We got some other topics to get into real quick. Definitely going into that. Twitter pop.
Topics that I think are interesting to pull up offline to see how you feel about it today. The 211, UFC 211 just keeps getting to be a thicker card in Dallas, and they just added, or a fight that might get added to it, but Chaz Skelly says he will fight Jason Knight, and I think that's a scrap.
That is a heck of a scrap, and Kelly's really underrated as far as a fighter, but I feel like Knight as well. I feel like Knight is starting to get a hype train behind him as far as the UFC because he is very charismatic. I immediately, before the UFC, when I looked tape on him, I said, I like this kid. He's going to go far, and he is living up
and
to that persona.
He's a Florida boy, isn't he?
I believe so, a Jacksonville boy. But Skelly has beaten people like Maximo Blanco and other high-ranked guys that I can't think of right now. Skelly is always an underdog with a chance. He's, I believe, lost one or two, maybe three in the UFC, but they've only been against top 10 guys. They've only been against very elite guys, so I think that this would be a very good test, solid test for Jason Knight, and I'd be really excited to see it. But Jason Knight's ground game better be on freaking point if he's coming in against Skelly. Skelly's going to grind the living daylights out of
him. Don't you think it's kind of a cool thing for a young guy and a new guy to the UFC such as Skelly that he's getting called out, or such as Knight, that he's getting called out by a guy like Skelly?
I love it. That's
huge.
The era we're in.
That's
the era we're in, and I'm a fan of that era right now. It's making good fights. It's easy for the promotion to build a story behind it because they gave you all the material you need. These guys already went on Twitter and don't like each other. What else do you need to stick on there? Get them a couple interviews, stick them on a poster, and that fight's done. Dunskies.
They need to start, the UFC needs to start taking the Twitter slamming back and forth and working it into the workups. It's like, come on, haven't you realized it won a presidency? Like, come on, Twitter.
Shit.
Yeah, like, start putting it out there and building the storyline behind it, the beef. It's so interesting.
They used to do it, but they've gotten away from it. And again, we're seeing a lot of changing things happening. It's something that we could get back into. But as of late, I feel like they've been falling a little short in some of the promotional aspect of things. Or it's been interesting at the people they've decided to get behind.
The return of Ronda Rousey. They did. Not that I think they did the build-up for that right, but they could have done just as good of a build-up on Amanda at the same time. Like, hedge your bets.
Oh, I totally
your
agree.
Bet.
Totally
like,
agree.
It's
but
just
everybody
a...
talked about it, as we did. But, like, everyone saw it. Like, are you kidding me? Amanda has a real shot, and you guys aren't even bringing her name up. Like, this is ridiculous.
Which, another thing going on in Twitter, it's kind of a perfect walk-in, is people are, you know, is the queen done? Is Ronda done? Will she ever be back? What would be a good fight for her to come back to? And I am such a huge fan of this Pena-Ronda Rousey fight. Can we get this done, UFC?
I think that's a really, really good fight. It's whether Pena takes it, because we know she's been divvying out, and initially she wanted to fight Ronda because Ronda was a champ. But now that she isn't,
I don't think
she
she's
may
a
not
belt
want
chaser.
That fight.
I think Pena's a fame chaser. And that,
that's the
yeah,
fight. But
I think
that stylistically, that's actually a really advantageous position for Ronda Rousey. Who's going to beat her on the ground game?
No.
That's where she came up and she got away from it
with
her striking.
But I think Pena's ego is so big.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that she
would try to keep it standing?
Yeah, or no, I think she wants the fight. I think she doesn't, she still thinks she can beat Ronda. I think she doesn't see what we see. Like, but I just think it's a perfect way for Ronda to shake the ring rust, and maybe she never gets to belt caliber again, but maybe she could get to 125, which becomes interesting because all of a sudden you're curious about what would Ronda versus JJ really be like.
At the spot that she's in as well, they can give her fights that aren't as dangerous for her in the striking realm. And regardless, because of the prior history she already has with the promotion, she's getting millions of dollars. Not only in the payday of the fight night and all of the promotion, because Metro PC, they already have a relationship with her. And she's still doing shows and making appearances Kat and all Zingano. Sorts of stuff.
Like, you can think of a couple...
I think that they can feed her, again, lower-level people. Kat would be a really interesting fight if she decided not to clinch up with her, but let's do a... No, Sarah McMahon's looked too good. I don't think Sarah...
But Sarah might want that rematch.
Yeah.
And so if you give Ronda two wins, and now all of a sudden the Sarah McMahon rematch, and then after that goes down, maybe the Holly Holmes rematch, it's like Ronda still could have a very lucrative career in this sport where she's sitting, and I feel like let's get this Pena matchup done. I call out the Venezuela Vixen. Like, let's do this, girl. You put your money where your mouth is, girl.
You heard it, Rhonda. Get to it. Come
Stop
on.
Stop messing with my bullet. You guys know you can't touch my bullet. Neither of you. I'm sorry. That's why I'm putting you against each other.
By the way, on the Twitter pop, I was recently looking through, scrolling through my feed, and I just got to throw out props to the Bullet, because she was riding bicycles through some volcano mountainous range somewhere.
She's in Hawaii right now for her birthday vacation.
Oh, well, happy birthday, by the way.
Not 29, that I stalk her or anything.
Oh.
Not that I Twitter stalk her.
I do. I watch. I look at all of her photos because she posts
stalk the Muay Thai sisters.
But either way, I absolutely love the photo of her with two other people. I don't know if they were friends, family, whatever they were, but they were both in ball caps, and she was in a goofy-ass helmet. I absolutely love that, because she's keeping her brain contained and protected, and on those terrains, you would be surprised at how easily you could really damage yourself and be put in a bad situation. And I've worked with people with traumatic brain injury in my life, and you would be surprised at the littlest falls.
And he's not talking about me.
So anything can do it. It's a miracle sometimes that some of these fighters don't have TBI, but I'm pretty sure that percentage is probably pretty low.
Yeah, I think protect your brain. Here at Lesbo and the Bean, we love bike helmets.
You'll catch me wearing one. I don't care how
goofy
it is. I
don't even care.
But you can wear
cool
ones. There's cool helmets out there. You don't gotta wear that 80s style where it's just like styrofoam with a little nasty cover.
I put a flag on the top.
Oh,
I go full on.
I do the skater with the freaking the skater helmet, because I feel like it protects the back of my neck a little bit more as well. And then I can do head spins if I ever need a breakdance in a breakdance battle.
I've been seen. I get on it. Full motorcycle helmet on the full.
A face cover.
Face flip down face. Like, you talk to me, I have to flip it up. But I'm on my bicycle.
Cool.
Just
That's
my bicycle.
Cool. I've never had it, but I am fond of the really old school. Like, they look like the bubble helmets that are all retro-y. It's very, I guess, hipsterish.
Like a space helmet?
Yeah, it looks like a space helmet with a bubble on the face. Yeah. Yes.
You look like the Fonzie helmet. Like, full Fonzie. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Well, mine's more looks motocross, where it has that weird neck in the back. So if I put my head down,
that's what I think, too,
really
with the skater one. It protects you in case, like, because we live in Florida, the population is a bit older.
They don't even know the new rules.
You don't even know the amount of cars we see up on the side of the roads. And this is just in a rural community.
They'll run over a Walmart sign, not even think twice about it.
That's a true story. That's a true story.
That's happening right now.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Oh, yeah. Hot topics. Twitter. Okay, so we went over Chaz Skelly. Here's just a weird one. I've just been taking a consensus of a lot of the people that we follow on Twitter. Are we mourning Khabib?
The death of Khabib.
Yeah. Khabib was always a guy, I feel like fight fans always liked him. They always dug him. But if you didn't really know fights, his name wasn't out there in pop culture. Maybe it is in Russia, but as far as we know, we don't know shit about Russia in general as a country, but all of a sudden we know all these ins and outs of their television market with Khabib. We don't know anything about it. So whatever with that. So he's not, so he builds this lure. He finally gets Conor to notice him. He finally gets the shit talk. I feel like he gets some fame off that. The Tony Ferguson thing, he gets some fame off that with the $200,000 and going back and forth on Twitter. He builds all this huge snowball. Whether he choked, whether he was on some sort of cycle, whether he wasn't professional enough to make weight, I have not heard anyone say anything good about this situation. Mm-hmm. So it's like, do you think he'll ever get the opportunity again to be the legend that we perceived coming? Mm-hmm. Or do you think the death of that t-shirt everything. Is that guy, is he going to take a few more fights for him to get to that level again?
He definitely has to fight a couple other people. I don't like the Ferguson immediate rematch. I think Ferguson does need to move on and fight the champion for the belt whenever that happens. If Ferguson chooses to fight...
He can't wait till the end of the year to fight.
Yeah, it's a good point. I was just thinking that in my head as I was saying that out loud. That it's true. He can't.
And he doesn't. Who else does he fight, though? Connor. Or Nate Diaz. Those are really the only... Or
Nate's not going to want to fight him because he only wants money fights. And they've offered him Ferguson. And he's like, no, I want a money fight.
He wants that fight. What about Eddie Alvarez? Eddie's fighting Chiesa
now? He just signed a fight. No, it was with...
It should be Chiesa. That was my argument.
It's a really fun fight, actually.
It is an okay fight. I was surprised.
It's Frankie Edgar versus Yair just got actually signed.
That's a great fight.
That's a really fun fight. But Eddie Alvarez, it might be Chiesa. You might be right on that. And if that is the fight, I'm on Chiesa's boat all
night. That's a good fight.
That is a really good fight. But I've been a
Chiesa. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Tony Ferguson's really getting screwed. Khabib screwed him. He lost
everything. Because he didn't even get his show money, I heard.
He got his show, but not his win.
Not his win. Well, half. That's half your purse automatically cut in half when you're expecting to get that win.
You train for the win.
Yeah. And you only get... And then they wanted to cut it in even
and
more.
And the health... the health issues with weight cutting and stuff. I just feel like, you know, it's a damn shame. Like, professionally and personally, out of principle, if I'm Tony Ferguson, Khabib doesn't see my fight for a really long fucking time.
I would agree with that. He doesn't earn that anymore. He didn't earn it anymore. I agree. I think Khabib has to at least fight 1 to 2 more guys to get in that spot. He has to... There has to be some sort of... punishment, penalties for not making weight, or these fighters are going to keep doing it. And obviously, the 20% purse isn't big enough.
We talked about rankings yesterday. Khabib beats who? Who was his last fucking fight? Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
And then he's number one contender. Yeah,
exactly.
Tony Ferguson has beaten the zombies of the division. The guy's still sitting at the bottom. You already fluffed Khabib's ranking to get to this point. Now what do, UFC? You friggin' put your money on the wrong dog.
Yeah.
Again. It's again. We see it happen again and again. I feel like it would be so easy to run any business and look at this Twitter and figure out what to do with that business. If your business is as big as the UFC. Uh-huh. You can see a consensus of what fans want to see. The fights they want to see. And I have to say, the UFC fans that I see more brilliant stuff come out of these fans on Twitter about matchups and than any of the...
Intelligent breakdowns. Yes, I agree. I follow it. And it's there's a very educated community where I think there is that level in NFL, but I've never been that big enough of a fan. But I... The way that people, because they interact. A lot of these fans are like, oh, I do jiu-jitsu schools. I don't compete, but I do jiu-jitsu, and I'll stick around and do kickboxing. And when they can speak on the movements themselves from a real point of view, it's just a much more educated, because they know the bullshit. And then you can't trick them. But that's how the fans and the sport is evolving. And well, it's amazing.
It's beautiful in a way that football could never be. I could say... this is totally a bullshit statistic, but if I were a football announcer, I could say, sure. Well, the Bears are playing in Green Bay again. They lose here 80% of the time. I can say that. I can make these statistics in football of what stadiums they lose and what weathers they lose and what... Every fight is a piece of art unto itself.
Agreed.
Every fight, two fighters in the ring, and as we see with the Nate Connor 2 to Nate Connor 1, you can see something completely different in there than you see the first time.
Mm-hmm.
A bad example of that would be Woodley Thompson. Which, in the same way as how they always talk about the worst, the first pitches in baseball. Like, whoever threw out the first pitch, like Snoop Dogg's up there, Baba Booey has, like, one of the worst ones of all time. Worst fights in the UFC. Like, I'm so glad Elias's fight with Alvi won't be the first I think of. Every time I think of the most boring fight I ever saw, I'll think of Woodley Thompson, too.
It was a rough one. It's definitely, we're ready to bounce back, and we got an up-and-coming weekend that is going to definitely show for us. But is there any other topics we want to hit on Twitter?
You brought up Yair versus Edgar.
That's
any,
a really...
Any first thoughts on that fight right now?
I want to say...
Yair versus Edgar.
Edgar is in, what, that top 2 spot for the division? This is a big step up. Yair is in that 8 or 9 spot, if I remember correctly, and this is a Frankie Edgar is a gatekeeper. He can't beat Aldo. He can't beat Max Holloway. And then it's him and I think Cub Swanson. So if Yair gets there, he's going to move into the 4th or 5th spot. And I think perfect fight. This is a true test. BJ Penn was not a test. BJ Penn was immediately just like, whoa, this is a different thing, guys. Unfortunately, we saw that happen. And Yair can go five rounds, but now we know somebody that can go five rounds hard. That's Frankie Edgar. Has probably more five rounds than any other fighter in the UFC, if you really think about it. Like, he has been in nothing but championship fights. He might have gone
for more titles than any other guy in the UFC.
I could see that as well, because he's went through two or three weight divisions through his career, and has always just been in that top five. He's a perennial gatekeeper top three guy.
We love the answer here at Lesbo and the Bean. We really do. The answer. And
there's not many fights that I would not give to Edgar, but I feel like Yair might
is an up and comer.
He might do some stuff that it's hard to train for. That's what's kind of happening with the type of fighter that Yair is. Who are you going to bring in to emulate that style? Mm-hmm. Caceres, one other person, and he emulated it. He didn't do it as well. Why he lost the fight. Like, it's the whole Conor thing. You can't, or there's a narrative going around right now that it's a fight and you can't train for that specific fighter. You can emulate him, but you can only really know once you're in there with
him. It was a big conversation with Woodley. He said exactly. It a lot. Do you know how hard it was for me to mimic Thompson? Yeah. Do you know how hard I had to train for that?
The same size, the same this, the same that.
Thompson has such a peculiar style. I am ready to move on.
Yair's in that boat. Yair's in that boat. And Frank Edgar's seen it all, but he hasn't seen a Yair yet. And that's the evolution of the sport.
You brought it up with a lot of other fighters, and especially, I'll even say, looking at the card for 106 this week, Frankie's one of those guys that we keep wondering when we're going to see, he's an old man.
The decline in his performances.
And he's, I love him. Yeah, but I will say, even his last few performances, I've been waiting. I haven't been able to pick apart his stuff where I'm like, that guy fights like an old man. He shouldn't be in that spot in the division. I feel like he's a gatekeeper for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll ever get the title, all the guys you listed, but I feel like he is tough as nails. He's like a tough guy that this is the fight for Yair, and it's so hard for me to pick against Frankie.
Agreed.
It's like every time I pick with Frankie, I always think, is this going to be the time that it's just like, boom, he's knocked out. Now every fight we watch from this time on is like, oh, like the BJ Penn.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an iffy fight, but I am excited about it. It's
a close fight. I am very excited for that fight. I can't wait for that one to come around. And there's been a lot of really good matchmaking coming up. There's a few other excited bouts there.
Other weird ones to throw around just to get your earliest opinions on it.
Yeah.
It'll just be interesting when to see if you stick with it. And I like when you get it out first. But so UFC 212 rumors, Aldo Holloway.
Of course, that's a fight that needs to happen, and because we are going to see a changing of the guard, which we've already kind of seen with Conor and Aldo, but Aldo's come back and beat, it's only been Edgar. That's the only person he's fought since his loss. So, again, these evolution of fighters that we can say, the Edgar/Yair fight, same boat. Max Holloway versus Aldo is new school, coming in and showing old school. I can do old school and more. Watch me. And Max Holloway's been putting a beating on people. They have common wins in Frankie Edgar, but I feel like...
Oh, I have a bad feeling about this card all of a sudden. I was just wanted to look it up because I was about to tell you, as long as this fight's not in Brazil, I have Holloway all day because I don't trust Aldo. I think he's a dirty fighter. Look where the fight's at. Rio.
De Janeiro.
UFC Rio. Woo. Which is like one of the dirtiest places. And I think this is so interesting.
This could be a Vegas fight.
We're in Brazil right now.
Yeah. This could be a Vegas
fight. So this is a very soon to go back to Brazil.
Yeah.
So I think this is very sketchy, and I'm nervous for Jose Aldo, or for Max Holloway in this situation. But right. I think Max Holloway, if anyone's game enough and has the skills enough to beat through the steroids, and eventually you can dope up all you want to, but if somebody's better, they're better.
Yep, agreed.
And I hope with everything, Max Holloway is one of my favorites, and I am ready to see Aldo go. I'm so tired of, I feel like this belt's fluffed. I'm tired of the...
If Holloway wins, any, is that belt fluffed at all?
Hell,
all of a sudden it has credibility. All of a sudden
no.
it has credibility.
Yes. And I can't wait for the belts to have credibility again. I feel like it got all murky. Like, I don't understand why all of a sudden they have, pretty much this interim belt was made to give Aldo a pacifier because he was going to go play soccer because Connor didn't want to take the fight right away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so now we have fucking interim belt in every division because of this crybaby. And so I just have an issue with, I think he's dirty, and I don't like my boy going in and fighting him. I don't like my boy fighting him in Rio. So, but I'm Max Holloway all day.
American made.
Is he Mexican-American?
No, no, no.
Is he Swedish-American?
A Hawaiian.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's American. He's, I mean, he's probably...
He's Marco.
He's probably former President Obama's cousin.
If he was born in Hawaii.
That's what I'm saying. He is. I'm saying he is.
Are you saying Max Holloway was born in Kenya? Boom. Okay. Another really quick fight on there. KK Godelia.
That's a fun fight. That's a fun fight. I can't wait to see that.
That is a beast fight. I don't think KK can get through Godelia, and I love KK. I think she has endurance like a motherfucker. But what does JJ not do? She doesn't ground.
Godelia looked good her last fight. She looked really, really good. Like, she turned it to that next level of like, okay, I gotta be able to do this for 3 hard rounds. And she pushed a heavy pace, which I feel like that was one of her biggest detriments initially, was the gassing and being overwhelmed in a fight. And now she's like, oh, I can just... She looked like Lineker, a little Lineker out there.
Yeah. I feel like she is JJ's biggest problem, and I also think she could beat Andrada.
She's lost twice, though, to JJ.
Yeah. I know.
No, wait, no.
Once. No, wait, twice. You're right. I feel...
No, I'm thinking of Godelia.
No, that's what I'm thinking, Godelia.
Yeah.
She's lost twice to JJ.
Yeah, to JJ,
yes,
for
yes,
sure.
Yes.
Yep,
but
yep.
I feel like Godelia could beat Andrada.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a really fun fight at the division, and there's not too many, but that's actually a really fun striking battle, that potentiality.
And the closeout of the Twitter rumors, but I just thought it was a fun quote because everyone is Floyd Mayweather, Connor, Floyd, Connor, Floyd, Connor. So here's the latest quote from Floyd. Conor McGregor, stop blowing smoke up people's asses. If you want to fight, let's make it happen, punk. Conor McGregor, you don't even want to fight, you little bitch, you little punk. Let's make it happen.
That was Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Cool. And I think that he's frustrated that they're not talking to him because who does he have? The money team behind him? What fights has the money team ever put on?
Yeah, who cares?
Exactly.
He's a bigger organization.
Way bigger, and Conor fits the make. More money in the long haul. He can make the $25 million for this one fight and lose, or he can have a career of that he's having now and make $25 million in 3 years and then keep going.
Yeah.
Like, he has way better options, where Floyd Mayweather is grasping at straws. He's already retired. Why is he trying to fight somebody outside of his sport? You don't see football players calling out rugby guys and being like, let's go, guys. I'm going to wear my full pads and whatever. And let's play.
And Conor
like
kind of has hit this freaking savings account of this fight. Like, he doesn't have to take a boxing fight right away. He can do MMA for another couple years, and every single boxer will still be chomping at the bit for this fight when it happens. So you're right, Conor has all the cards.
Yeah,
when it comes to
with Mayweather being like, please, he's saying fuck you and trying to rise him to get a comment back. But do you talk to someone who's begging you?
I know, and look at how that's changed all of a sudden.
Yeah, Mayweather isn't, though.
Is putting Connor's name in his mouth
exactly,
all of a sudden.
Exactly, because he wants to stay relevant, and Mayweather tends to do this. He's done this a few times. You can see a repetitive nature in him where he, all of a sudden, he'll implement himself with Biebs, who's an all-time high, implement himself with other boxers, other people, where he just shows up, makes an appearance, and gets a bunch of tweets off of it. But he understands how to make money on the backside. He does understand how to make money, and he's kept himself relevant out of the boxing scene as much as he was in. And he's a master at that. You got to give him credibility.
Marketing master.
He is a marketing master. The thing is that he can't market other people. He can market himself because of his specific credentials and the person he is. But if he brings up another person and tries to make them something, I don't think he'd be able to do that because he's not. He can market himself. I don't think that he can actually promote other people and make them go anywhere. It's just not
proven. So you just think it's Floyd marketing Mayweather, not Floyd money.
Agreed. I would agree with that 100%. 100%. So, moving on to our DraftKings picks and final breakdown post-weigh-ins. And I'm talking about the early weigh-ins that happened in Brazil.
The real weigh-ins.
Not this put on TV and watch everyone all bloated and fat with filled belly with the tacos and Brazilian food and no but one's falling out this. Yet. Yeah.
If at the real weigh-in or the televised weigh-ins,
uh-huh.
if somebody does the flinch and the other person bulks, we're like, oh, no, change your card, but we'll tweet that out.
Right, well, right, right,
change
right.
your card, that
But as far as this is it, this has been the final changes. This is the goodness where we think we finally got a set.
Good handle on this. On if we're going to change gonna anything go. Or if we saw anything that looked good and bad in weigh-ins. And
right, 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 right. So.
Oh, real quick. This is just a perfect time for me to tell everyone all of our feeds are fixed. Go to our website, www.lesboandthebean.com, and you can click on subscribe here, and you'll get the latest episodes like hours before anybody else will if you subscribe, which sometimes when you're betting and watching the UFC, all those hours matter to change your cards. So if somebody falls out or anything like that, we'll keep you up to date. But you can go to that. There's a button that says subscribe. It'll take you to iTunes or whatever other podcast sites you use. And you can subscribe and rate our show if you like it. We would love a rating. Five star.
Thank you for that. If you could do that, we would appreciate it.
5 star.
It all helps. I don't even care about a 3 or 4 star because I'll take constructive criticism.
I am worried about criticism.
Exactly. Just don't be a butthole out there doing what you got, or trying to be make a name for yourself by picking on people.
Don't try to make a name for yourself on Lesbo and the Bee.
Exactly. That we got working.
It would be like just piss poor of your time. Like, go make a name for yourself on Joe Rogan. Go make a name for yourself on HowardStern.com. You're wasting your time making a name for yourself on Lesbo and the Bee.
By the way, the after show can call us. And do some what sort of prank or whatever. Because they're hitting MMA shows. I know I'm getting off topic. But have you noticed that the shows that they have on Howard Stern are actually MMA based? Like Jermaine Durandami ended up getting trolled. And so do other people talking about MMA and even the pranks either way.
Phony woman calls.
Getting back to the DraftKings
UFC picks. UFC 106.
The weigh-ins. So, Borranchina. Did you finally get a look at this boy?
Woo! You guys and you ladies. I guess that would probably be more appropriate for people watching MMA. Not that we have any problem with homosexuality around here. Yeah. But this guy is good looking. He looks better than Joe Ban. He is
bold.
Oh, yeah. I think he's definite all-star top 5 UFC. He just walked his way in. He's like standing
shoulder. With the body?
Oh, yeah. He's with like Rockhold.
He's chiseled, good looks, but he does have that cinnamon skin with a very chiseled.
It's mocha lara.
Chiseled features. Definitely a good looking guy.
Check him out, you guys.
You can really see the difference if you looked at any of his fights before with the caliber of fighter he lost. He looked way, way bigger. But now that he's in the UFC, McClendon actually did look good as well at the weigh-in. He looked fairly muscular compared to where he came. He looked ready. This is going to be a grind of a fight, guys. But if you looked at Paulo Costa's Borranchina, his tape, he's a dynamic striker. So definitely still have him round one TKO.
His name's weird on DraftKings, you guys.
It's under Borranchina.
So you
it's
know, his nickname. Which is nickname, which is really
it looks
odd.
Really long. It's a B name.
At DraftKings, if you guys want to tweet at them to fix that, they can't put some of the fighters with nicknames, some of them with last names, some of them with middle names.
It happens with these Brazilian fighters because they have 9 names.
They get so confused.
Exactly.
They don't know where to go.
Exactly. And you can go through a million Brazilian fighters and be like, what?
So but the reason I'm pointing this out is because I totally agree with the Bean on this. This is one you want on your card.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be on that DraftKings card. It's going to help you out a lot. Also, Honey Jason weighed in. Kennedy looked good. That's going to be a grind of a fight. I think that's you should just stay away from that as far as DraftKings. There is a play, I feel like, on Jason with the finish, but I think just stay away. There's other ways that
and
you can make.
And I think
make
Kennedy with the finish, and I've been looking at all the lines, and I feel like they are tight.
It's a really close
and
fight.
And I think they're 8-1, 8-1.
Yeah.
And I always find that those 8-1 fights, for DraftKings doesn't know the numbers all the time, but usually the closest fights end up being the closest fights.
And those are split decisions, which tend to not really benefit you as much
either
in the DraftKings.
Way,
we
when
want
you
finishes.
Pick the winner.
Yeah, we want or finishes submission early or.
And as last week will tell you, the winner of a split decision doesn't always get the most points. Points, which
agreed.
Is bullshit.
It's so weird. Even a finish, there was Darren Elkins finished, and Bektik still got as many points as him
like
in the third
more
round.
Points.
Yeah, it was crazy. crazy. So we're everybody's learning along here, and we'll keep on going. Berkman versus Prezeris. Did I tell you Prezeris was a tank?
Did I tell you that my gosh, guy was a little fire hydrant? Hell, I had no idea. His pitchers don't do justice to Ugias.
He is humongous, and his cardio was his biggest problem initially, and he has never failed since that point. He is in Brazil. He looks like he could get a little bit of the help. Berkman looked really good. Lean. He looked in
it
shape.
I was going to say, because the Berkman weighed in so much earlier, I was like, damn, the longer beard with Berkman makes him look a little meaner. It kind of gives him the Craig look. And his body looks really good. And I was like, this is the best looking Berkman we have ever seen. Like, this could be really awesome. You know, and his last fights haven't been awful. And then I saw Prezeris. Yeah. And I was like, holy shit. That guy's a real gorilla.
So, I also think that this is going to be a decision fight either way. And I'm leaning more towards Prezeris with just a grind.
I think he's really expensive, though.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if I have him on too many cards as well either. Especially with that decision, I feel like we, again, have other fights that have a better shot at that. We have Soto versus Yaya. Yaya weighed in with a towel. And he made it. He looked somewhat beat. Soto didn't look too bad.
I thought it was a better looking Joe Soto. I actually didn't even recognize him.
Yeah. I definitely am staying the same boat as I was before.
That fight's kind of scary to me as well.
Didn't really change for me. Ramos looked good. I think that Ramos also had to weigh in with a towel.
I agree.
And Marias looked really good. Marias looked shredded.
Marias looked young.
Yeah.
And ready.
Yeah.
He had his friggin' horse steroids pumping through him, his Brazilian fight.
I definitely feel like Marias submission round 2, but I think I could move it to a submission round 1 even. I feel like he might be in that mindset of, he is a bit older, in and out. He can't
he
fight with these
take
guys.
Those punches.
Exactly.
I agree with
you. He wants to be done, and he's going to get this guy to the ground. So I think maybe submission round 1, he is going to be on my DraftKings cards. He is going to be a play regardless of the expense, because he's outmatching his opponent by a lot. This looks like one of the most exciting fights. Francisco Trinaldo versus Kevin Lee. They both weighed in. Trinaldo looked good. Lee looked good. Lee looked like he might have... He always looks big, though. Always looks big. Trinaldo looks big, too. This is such a fun fight
for
me.
This is going to be a fun fight.
I still have a Lee TKO. It could go Lee decision, just because I got to give Trinaldo that amount of respect. He's really beaten a lot
Trinaldo,
of good guys.
So, yep.
Woo!
That's
a fun fight.
But I will be honest, I will have DraftKings started with both these guys because I think they're points.
It's either way.
Not both of them on the same card.
No, one.
Not a double play on this.
Mixing up your cards just like last weekend is going to end up helping you, because there's enough fights this weekend that could go either way. So you're going to need to just mix it up a bit. You can't get stagnant and just play one card all night long. You're going to definitely lose money that way. One of the most talked about fights. Tim Means versus Alex Oliveira. Oliveira had to weigh in naked at 171 pounds. Tim Means weighed in a pound under.
Oliveira just went up, everyone. He just went up to weight because he wasn't making weight at 155. So he goes up, and now he had to weigh in naked because
so
he didn't make the cut.
He's
coming to fight.
He's stronger. If there wasn't people that came in stronger, I feel like this guy came in stronger. And guess where they're fighting? In Brazil. So,
Brazil.
We gotta take this shit into consideration. And I feel like this has Screwjob written all over it. All over it. If not, I feel like Cowboy can get a finish, because he did hurt Means in that fight. And it's gonna be... I'm switching it right now. I'm going Oliveira decision. And that could go into a finish as well. I'm gonna go finish Oliveira, and what we're going to say when we come back from this fight, I'm going to go round 1. We're going to say, it's bullshit. He should have never got that fight, because Tim Means should have initially won that fight. There should have never been a rematch, and we'll be mad at that. But I am switching post weigh-ins. I think Oliveira's coming in stronger. I think
I do think Asada weigh-ins. I do think he's coming in stronger. But I also think, we always talk about, is the juice worth the squeeze? I think Means is one of the guys that's always fought clean. I think we're seeing that come up in the division, that even if Oliveira comes in stronger, Tim Means will stay up against him and grind him. And that cardio, we're going to see it wear out, the dehydration. And I think Oliveira is such a dirty fighter.
He's a big underdog. Exactly the reasons that we talked it out is why I'm going for it. Because I don't think it's going to be a classy win. But is it going to make me money? I feel like there is money in this fight. Especially with the odds being so lopsided. This is too close of a fight. And I do see a lot of favorites playing for Oliveira. Not as many for Tim Means right now. Fun fight, fun fight. Can't wait, can't wait for that one. We saw a bitch herself come in against Renault. And Renault looked good. Renault looked muscular. She looked shredded up. I feel like it was in her belly or something. Was weird. Did she have a kid?
No, she looked like she had a big belly button. But now when I was thinking about it, I think she's so built and lean right now that when she was flexing, her abs concaved her belly button.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because after she didn't flex. But good. The same things you were saying at Oliveira make me think of Marion Renault in this fight in particular. She's coming in strong and at her lightest weight right now. To me, Betch has weight she's carrying around that isn't muscle, and Marion doesn't.
And Betch is short, but she's got them burthen hips. She's got them legs. She's got them horse legs. I mean, she could give Thurdoa a run for her money with them legs.
I want to see what camp these people are at right now. Because we're also seeing a lot of weird fights in Brazil by Brazilians.
Team Rhino Elite out of California. But she's jumping all around the scene in California. If you're in California, you're in a hub of fighting. So if you're also in Brazil.
I'm sticking with Renault on this. And I can't believe I usually the lady fights and stuff. But I'm putting Renault on some cards. I think she's going to finish
this I feel like fight. This is a finish as well for Renault, just because I've always tried to fade Betch, and the fact that she beat Jessica in a split decision should be proof enough that Renault should be able to finish his fight. Definitely, Renault is going to be a good look for the evening to try to make some money. We have Formiga versus Borg. Borg weighed in absolutely fine. That was the guy that I was most worried about, because he did have trouble the previous fight, but he didn't even look that distraught. He's looked worse at other weigh-ins. He actually looked really shredded, really, really shredded, and he was smiling up on stage. Formiga, does he have a big head or not?
DJ, I told you, DJ's Johnson head.
He does have a DJ, but he leads with that head. That's the biggest thing I'm, again, scared with this fight, that Formiga is going to end up having the headbutt set up the finish, and if it happens, that's the way it's going to happen. But I'm going to keep riding with Borg. I think he looks good. I think he outrides him.
If he headbutts him, I feel like for some reason Borg has cuttable eyes. Extra cuttable.
He
bleeds.
He can bleed.
So it makes me a little nervous about that fact. It's a Brazilian in Brazil. I probably won't go too heavy on this fight either way.
Yeah, I have Borg as well as a decision. So I probably will not play this on my DK too much. But I could see a stab at Borg because the finish...
If you're trying to fill in a hole and you have a questionable fight compared to somebody, this will probably go to decision.
Yeah,
so I could usually totally we always feel like that. The decision fights, if you're going to pick a loser, those are the ones to go with.
Right. So we have Edson Barbosa versus Benil Dariush. Edson, did he weigh in with a towel? Or maybe not? I don't think he did, actually. No.
No, I think they both look
good.
Dariush looked worn.
Dariush at 155 pounds. He's that type of just never looks shredded. There's never been a fight he's weighed in for where I'm like, dang, he looks muscular. He's not that body type, but he competes at the highest level in jiu-jitsu and in striking. And he has made people look rudimentary in all facets of the game. And I feel like he's going to do that again to Barbosa. I have Dariush's decision. Edson did look good. Oh, a thing I did want to... I was watching the... workup where they ended up doing their flash techniques or kicking the fan show, and I was watching Edson Barbosa's switch kicks. Again, he has incredibly fast switch kicks, but Edson wasn't shooting one takedown. He never did it where every other fighter was working their strikes in and then they duck under for a takedown. Actually, I believe that Edson did go for a duck under, but it was the sloppiest.
He got clipped. No,
it was the sloppiest duck under, and the reason I'm made note of it is because if he trained with his partners to get that shitty of a duck under, and his partners let him keep doing it, and he does this against the wrestler and the caliber of Dariush, Dariush is going to jump on a guillotine immediately, and that fight's going to be over in a submission. Just saying. The only takedown option, because most people do strike in a takedown, he went for duck unders specifically, but they were really bad duck unders. And whoever's teaching Edson Barbosa's wrestling needs to work on the basics as far as duck under stuff. Because it was just... But at the same time, they're at a promotional thing. They're not going full bore. So I could see them just being like, ah, work on your bullshit. But Dariush...
I agree with you on this. I don't think... I can't see Barbosa finishing. I see Dariush not only if he gets the decision, but I also can see him finishing the fight. I
agree.
Think... Dariush, right now, I'm going to say it, and if you disagree with me, you can point out the other fighter, but I believe Dariush is our Leslie Smith underdog pick of the week.
It's either him or Oliveira for me, because Oliveira is such a bigger underdog right now, but because I feel like I'm maybe putting a caveat on this Leslie Smith pick, but they genuinely have to be honorable people. Or do they not? Can they be dirtbags and still be Leslie Smith pick of the week? Because it doesn't matter about the personality, it's the win.
Leslie Smith is awesome, and so we're just 100% on our Leslie Smith pick. And
yeah.
Oliveira
has a more likely shot of not winning in my eyes compared to Dariush. I would say that.
And so it's usually the lowest money with the shot of winning. That usually ends up being our Leslie Smith.
Uh-huh.
Whoever it costs the least with still the shot of winning. And
is Dariush cheaper as far as DraftKings compared to Oliveira? I feel like Oliveira might be low because he's a big underdog. And we're going to the DraftKings lines right now.
Click over here.
Just so that we can give you the proper lines. A proper.
Okay, there's Oliveira.
It means it's 7-2 for Oliveira, and Dariush is 7-5. So the cheaper is Oliveira.
Yeah, but it's not about cheaper.
Yeah,
with the shot of winning.
Yeah.
And so you think, but I don't think. And Leslie Smith, we always both think. And
yeah.
We both have Dariush. He's still an underdog.
Okay.
He happens to be a good guy, which I think that could just play into that the universe is always going to send us this, and they're always going to be a noble person like Leslie Smith. And if you guys don't know why we pick Leslie Smith, you have to go back and look at her busted ear that Jessica and I got the one. You got to go back and watch her against Cyborg in the early call and how tough of... She was still there, everyone.
It was early.
And it was an early call. And ballsy bitch goes to Brazil to fight Chris Cyborg.
Agreed.
And then her next fight, she comes in huge underdog, totally takes the fight, exactly
yep.
like we said. And that was our first underdog pick we ever made on air, so we give it her name. And that's the last time we're going to tell you why it's Leslie Smith, underdog pick of the week.
Beneil Dariush.
Okay, moving
we
on.
We have Mauricio Shogun, who versus Gian Vellante.
Jean.
So, Gian, I still have Vellante decision. Hua just looks... like he's been in 100 fights.
Just because his name's Jean. How do you say ball in Spanish?
Pelota.
Pelota. And Mexico, or in Texas, Lance Armstrong has a bike shop. And attached to it is a coffee shop. And it's called Juan Pelote.
Juan
so,
balls.
Like, one ball.
Uh-huh.
Juan ball.
That's
spelled
funny.
Juan. So,
yeah.
Because he's Juan.
Juan. Yeah,
so,
that's funny.
I thought it was so clever.
That's funny.
And so, just because of Jean Vellante, it made me think of how, like, but yeah, so one ball, I thought it was super clever. Like, all right, that made me like you a little more. Lance Armstrong.
So,
like, Howard has a weird way of, like, bringing up shit that, like, okay, you got me, Lance Armstrong. Go on, Juan Vellante.
With Vellante, I think they both look good. Other than Hua just looked much, much more battle-torn. If there's a finish in this fight, I do feel like it's for Shogun. But I am giving the decision to Vellante just because I feel like that wrestling is going to... He's going to stay on top for 3 rounds and everyone's going to be bored with that fight.
I agree with you. I got Vellante. I think Hua looked tired. He looked worn out. And to me, when you just look extra dehydrated, that is a sign of a knockout to me. And Vellante is not necessarily known as a guy, but once you get to this weight class... anyone can get knocked out. And so if you're a dehydrated guy at 205, you're going to get knocked out. So I do feel like Vellante could get the finish here. But same could be said for Vellante, where I agree with you with Hua can get that clip on Vellante.
If there's someone to
out.
Knock someone out, it's
yeah.
Hua's getting the
yeah.
knockout. So I could see Hua being on some of your other cards just as that. I like to make a card where I'll pick the opposite person, my underdogs of underdogs are the people I oppose just because they're close fights when they're like that. And, Hua can definitely make you some money or lose it all for you. That's why we love this fight game. Main event, Vitor TRT, or TNT as he likes to put it now, versus Kevin Gastelum, Kelvin Gastelum, and I still have TKO round one. I just feel like maybe it'll go into round two because Belfort is a savvy vet, but there was nothing I saw that surprised me. Gastelum looked like a torso.
Looked good.
Yeah, he looked ready to go. Solid.
We always suggest that people stay away from putting one person on all their cards. We always say don't, like, you know, hedge your bets a little. But if you have a guy that you're going to put on all your cards this week, or a majority of, like, 80% of your cards, yep, would you say Kelvin's the guy this week?
100%. 100%. I haven't seen anybody else on the Twitterverse really pick Belfort, and it doesn't make any sense. Just in all of the fights that have happened, you can definitely see the trajectory of this young man being through the roof, and somebody's already peaked in on the way down, and it's just, this fight doesn't make any sense for Belfort, other than he's got humongous pelotas, because Kevin is not an easy fight for anyone, and for him to be in his hometown to get an ass whooping, it takes a man to do that.
So I'm going to call this one all card, all day, day, Gastelum.
That's I like pick. It. Okay. I like it.
So we're going to go through now a quick DraftKings and see if the advice we gave you is card affordable, and see if we can talk you through a one Lesbo in the Bean card. We're going to go up and sign up for a Tommy Toehold here and go ahead and see if we can afford a card. So the 9-5, we say the
Kevin all day, on every everything. Day.
We're
going
to put Kelvin on this card.
Have to.
Done.
Then I also like Dariush. We both have to put our Leslie Smith. We have to Done. Put it on there. Then we have Renew. Our we other, had Renew on a lot.
Hot plays that we have written down for our hot plays or stayaways. So our hot plays are Marias.
Ooh, I like that. I can see a finish in that as well.
So we'll go with all of our hot plays. Sergio Marias here. We have Renew.
Yep, go there's a finish in there too.
And the one that you like that I put down on hot plays, because if he was cheap enough, which he is Oliveira. So we can put it on, maybe take it off with the rest of the advice, but right now it goes on the card. And then stayaways, the Jason Kennedy fight, we're not putting either of those guys on. And Prezares, we're not putting him on our cards.
So right here, I like to use a salary cap once we get down here, just because it'll show us who's written, who's in red, and who's in not. And we can afford quite a bit. We still have 8,800 with the amount of people that we've put on so far. So far, our biggest value plays are Oliveira and Beneil Dariush. And this gives us, tons of options.
$8,800 left to spend.
So we can't pick Edson Barbosa because we are picking Dariush. We can't play those sometime, but in a 3-round fight, it doesn't make any sense. It needs to be a 5-rounder to really get your money back.
I don't think we agree on Yaya Soto.
Agreed.
We have the Hua Vellante.
And we see a decision for Vellante on that. But if there's a finish, we do see Hua being the finisher with Vellante's suspect chin.
And then the Kevin Lee versus Trinaldo we don't agree on. The Kennedy Jason we don't. We agree on Borg. And we agree on Vellante.
And
where's our good-looking MF?
Borrachina?
Can we afford him and take maybe Oliveira?
So Borrachina's at 9-1 as a debuter, which is unreal. Unreal for a debuter to get that. You got to give him a little bit cheaper.
Let's see if there's anyone at the bottom that we would
Be able to trade out for, like, one of our higher people. Gastelum being one of those.
Berkman. Borg. Borg's the highest guy we agree on. So I think we Borg it.
I think we Borg it as well.
So our combined Lesbo and the Bean pick, you can go with whoever advice you want. You can do cards based on both of them. Mix it all together. Do your own. Even tweet at us, at Lesbo and the Bean on Twitter, and we'll take your advice.
Show us screenshots if we get it for you.
We'd love it.
If you end up getting this card, show us how much you made off of it. We'll repost it for you. Can we go back over just really quick Lesbo and the Bean card? So we have at the top Kevin Gastelum at the main event.
Kelvin.
Then we have Beneil Dariush, who's our big underdog. We also have Sergio Marais, who's the big Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guy. We have Marion Monroe.
Renew.
Renew. And we have Alex
Happy
Oliveira,
birthday.
Who that's the scary, scary pick of the entire card.
And it's the only one we disagree on, but very rarely does it disagree on. If it's still a hot play, if a guy's cheap enough and either one of us make enough good points, we'll still put it in the hot play.
Right. So. And then we both agreed on Ray Borg getting that decision. And that's a decision. And I would say that Dariush and Borg are decision fights. Everybody else we expect to get a finish. And that's the way we're playing this
card,
right?
And you have $1,000 left over. So if there's anything you don't agree with us, or if you want to change something out, if you maybe want to try to get the debuter, which I think the debuter could screw you in this fight. We always say, stay away from that first fight of the night, you guys. It's too early to ruin your cards.
It can be, but it is the fight as well that can win it for you and get 100 points. And it's the fun of the game. There's a lot of stuff that can happen, but... be ready for it. That's definitely going to be
a
fun night of fights. I'm happy with that lineup. I think that it's going to do us well. And
if you follow us on Twitter and on Facebook, we're going to go ahead and we'll snap a picture of this lineup and we'll get this up for you guys too. And along with this episode of the podcast,
let's move the beat.